There's going to be quite a few verses. There'll be many thoughts from leadership and many of your thoughts as well. So there's a lot, and I suddenly realized this morning that there's probably far too much for us to do in an hour, but it doesn't matter. We're going to see what we can do this morning. And so I want you to begin this morning by opening up, if you have a Bible, to Philippians chapter 1. And it's also printed on the sheet. There's a handout. I really don't like fill-in-the-blank stuff. It's not my style. But I thought, well, you know, there's so much today that I want to share, and I want you to take something away with you and think about it, that we did a fill-in-the-blank, all right? So you can follow along, and there's pens. If you don't have one, you can grab one. But what I want you to do is I want you to take what you receive, and I want you to think about it and pray about it, okay? So this is for us to kind of take and digest. There's some thoughts here that the leadership has been praying and thinking about for a while. They may or may not be new to you, but take it away and think about it and pray about it. And so this is for you to write some notes down on. And there's a verse up at the top of that page, and it's the book of Philippians in chapter 1. And I think there is no better passage in the New Testament that expresses both my heart and the heart of the River West leadership than this passage when we think about our church. And it begins with gratitude, and it kind of ends with a look to the future. So here it is, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's just such a great passage. And my heart kind of gets choked up right at the beginning because I give thanks so much with joy for this church. It has been such a joy to me, and I know to everyone who's involved in our leadership, and I know to you it's been a joy. It's just one of the qualities of our church. It's a joy to be here, and I'm so thankful for that. And yet, knowing that, I also understand that God's not through with us, that I had the sense that God's only just beginning, and he's going to continue that work and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the thing I love about this passage is he kind of looks at, you know, looks back and looks at the present situation with joy and thanksgiving, with gratitude. But he also looks to the future, and he recognizes God has a future for you. This church at Philippi, he says, you in particular, God has a future for you, and God has a future for us as a church as well. Now, if we were to read on in Philippians, we would see that this is all part of a larger pattern which is repeated over and over in Scripture, and it's the pattern which I've put as a headline across the top of that page, and it is gratitude, growth, and greater impact. And that is, if I could say that there's a simple plan for us at River West Church for our future, it is those themes. It is gratitude, growth, and greater impact. And I see it in the passage, because I didn't print it on the top of your page there. But if you're to read on in Philippians chapter 1, he goes on to say in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love might abound yet more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you might be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. There's a development of this idea. He's so thankful and appreciative, and he recognizes Christ is working in their midst. And he says, I have gratitude for that. But here's the thing. My prayer is for your growth. I pray for you to grow, that you might grow in love, increase in love, in wisdom and insight, that might enable you to discern what is best. He's praying for their growth and maturity. And he says, so that you might have fruit in your life to the glory of Jesus Christ. And I read that as impact, because fruit is the result. Fruit is what happens, what comes forth, which is beautiful, and which is impacting and useful. So I see a great pattern here. It's that gratitude, growth, greater impact. And I think that's exactly what God has for us as a church. It is our plan. Theme number one for our future is actually gratitude. It's gratitude. And it may seem odd to start with gratitude when you talk about thinking about the future, but in many ways, it's the most crucial step of all. The power of gratitude is that it puts the Lord at the center of our thinking. And that's where we have to start. We must start with the Lord at the center of our thinking. And gratitude always does that. That's why gratitude is one of the key components of the Christian life. When we give thanks to the Lord, we acknowledge that every good thing has come from His hand. We recognize that whatever we have, whatever that we have to build upon right now is a result of God's work. So on your outline, the first thing we must do is acknowledge the blessing of Christ at River West Church. It's the first thing we have to do. Just acknowledge the blessing of Jesus Christ at River West Church. Now, the story of River West Church is really pretty simple. It's a story of a small group of people who had a very simple vision. Our original vision statement at River West Church was simply this: to strengthen believers in Christ and influence unbelievers towards Christ. That's the way we started. Just to strengthen believers in Christ, influence unbelievers. It's very simple, very straightforward. That's what we're about. That's what we do. We used to say in the early days of River West that God called us to live at the intersection of hurt and hope and to point people to Jesus. That's just what we did. We just live at this intersection, the world we live in, hurt and hope, and we just stand on the corner of those two things. We know what it is to hurt, we know what it is to hope, and we just stand there in direct traffic, you know, and point people to Jesus. That's our job. And so it's very simple. This is what we're going to do in the life of our church. And the church literally started in living rooms. And the majority of the work of the church was in our own living room in the early days. And we just wanted to give a little kind of a walk down memory road. We got some slides here that's going to pick up the story. This is at Robert. There's Jim at Robert Gray Middle School. And by this time, we had been at the Garden Home Rec Center, at West Hills Christian School, and Wilson High School. So we've been all over. And, like nomads, we had to keep moving. And we moved into the cafeteria there. Let's go to the next one. There's the cafeteria of Robert Gray Middle School. And you can kind of see, you know, us setting up. Look, it's the same monitors, John. Can you believe it? We haven't upgraded since Robert Gray Middle School. So, we come in every week and we set up chairs. We got a picture, I think, of some more setup things going on there. You know, we back up this trailer every week and we push everything into the trailer. We've got another picture, I think, of the trailer crew. There we are. You know, every week, this was our life every week. And it was an awesome experience. It was just a group of people, you know, trying to strengthen believers in Christ and direct unbelievers towards Christ. Is that Darren in the front row? Good Lord. Looks like a kid. There he is. May the Lord be merciful to all of us. Let's go to the next one. The Lord provided this place for us. There's the church. We had to come in here and do a lot of work, amazing amount of work in this place to make it usable. Let's go to the next one. Here we are on the inside building this thing right here, which is now falling apart. And let's go to the next one. It was so awesome. We're worshiping the Lord right in this place, you know, just setting things up in this place and making it our place of worship. And the next one. Now, this is over at Lake Grove, kind of on the back area there, as the Lord blessed with this merger of this church that was going through decline. And we prayed with them, and they basically blessed us with their facility. And here's more work. That looks somewhat dangerous. And there's the Lake Grove facility. And so just kind of a sense of some of the things God has done. One of the problems when you look at buildings is you tend to focus on buildings. And you go, oh, they went to this building and that building and that building. But it just gives you, I guess, maybe a placeholder just to think through time what God has done and how we've moved around and expressed ourselves in different ways. And it's awesome to see this. So gratitude is a great place to start. It makes us aware of what God has done and how God has worked in us and how God has worked through us. And so we're grateful to the Lord and we acknowledge Him in all of this. But gratitude is a great place to start also because it makes us aware of what we value most as we move forward. In other words, if you were to think of River West Church and to say, this is what I am thankful for at River West, I'm really grateful for this. And if you were to fill in the blank, it would tell you, it would be a hint at what you value and what it is that God has done within the life of our church that may be unique or special or at least meaningful to our lives as a church community. And so the next little fill-in on your outline is to recognize the key qualities and strengths that Christ has built into us. Recognizing the key qualities and strengths that Christ has built into us at River West. And those are the things that we want to build upon. Now, as we move forward, anytime we have a meeting like this, kind of a body meeting, we talk about the future, there are people, some people get excited, some people get nervous. And the reason why is because people say, well, you're going to change things. And if you change things, I don't like that. There's a lot of people that don't like change, which means most of us. And so anytime that change is on the horizon, people tend to seize up a little bit, all right? But the thing is this, we don't have to fear change if we know what we're doing and if what we say is we're going to retain and build upon the qualities and strengths that Christ has worked into this church that make it special to us. And that's exactly what we intend to do. So we had an exercise in our leadership. We got out a whiteboard just like that, and we said, what are the key qualities and strengths of our church that we appreciate? And we just did a brainstorming, and we wrote it out. And then we went to our staff, and we did exactly the same thing. What are the key qualities and strengths of our church that we appreciate, that we value? And we wrote them out. And I asked you to think about the same thing. So we're going to have a little brainstorming right now, all right? I asked you to think about what are the key qualities or strengths of River West Church that you appreciate, that are meaningful to you. And these are things that you say, you know, I don't want to lose these things. I want to retain these things. And in fact, I want to build upon these things. And we're going to brainstorm right now. I'm going to ask Mr. Steve Woolley, the master of the easel and the pen, to come up here and to write down some things, some responses, okay? So here's what we're going to do. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to call out some things, okay? And if it turns into chaos, then I'll say no, calm, be still. All right.
No spell checker.
I know. Well, that's why I wanted you. I don't want to get up here and spell. Do we have any English teachers here? It's okay. It's all right. Okay. Somebody tell me what's a key quality or what you believe to be a strength of our church that you value?
Community.
Absolutely. The centrality of the Word. All right, I'm excited now. What else we got?
Focus on Christ.
A focus on Christ. Okay? Christ-centered. I like it. What else?
Flexible.
Flexible. Flexibility. I like that.
Authenticity.
Authenticity. It's hard to keep up with all this. You're doing good, Steve. Flexible, authentic. Community, focus on the Word and Christ. Flexible. There's authenticity. And I know that we could unpack each one of these things and say, well, you know, anytime you deal with words, well, what does that mean to you? What does authentic mean to you? But let's do that another time, all right? Let's just kind of assume that we know what we're talking about here, some commonality in these words. Yes.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Now we're getting some, I don't know, I feel like I have to unpack that. Could you just tell me a tiny bit what that means?
It's getting in the boat. It's being vulnerable to be criticized or to take a risk or
okay.
Get outside of our comfort zone.
Oh, wow. Risk. I like that. Outside the comfort zone. Anything else?
People walking the walk.
People walking the walk, okay. Walking the walk, and maybe that is sort of a subcategory of authenticity, being real about our faith and living it out. That's good.
Action in the community.
So we might say, I don't know, outreach or community action, something like that. That would be great.
Sermons that you can apply.
Okay, sermons that you can apply. Okay, I like that. Thank you. You're talking my language now. Okay. Wait, somebody else said something. Simultaneously, I heard somebody talking.
Desire to help others.
Desire to help others. Okay, so outreach, maybe a service. Service would be good. Yeah. Vision. Okay. Vision. Praise the Lord. Does that stick up on a wall somewhere?
This is one of the
Oh, well. What shall we do? I'll let Steve figure it out. Yeah. Okay. Acceptance of others. Okay. Acceptance. Non-judgmental. Okay. Very good. That's okay. We can just, we'll hold them all up at the end and we'll have a, oh, that's good. Thank you. Okay. Okay. We got non-judgmental / accepting. All right. A humble approach. Okay.
Integrity and leadership.
Integrity in leadership.
Worship.
Okay. We value our worship experience. All right. This is just too good to be true. I think we should just adjourn the meeting and go home because it's all somebody's going to say something negative and I'm going to get depressed. Yeah. A spirit of grace, okay? So accepting, and I think, you know, if we keep writing things, we're going to end up clumping things together in a sense. But I like that. The spirit of grace, humility, acceptance, I think all kind of go together. Praise the Lord. That's good. And we don't have to go on forever. I mean, I think we're covering a lot of categories here that these are great things. You know, what a blessing it is, how thankful I am to be in a place where a group of people would say these things. Now, I didn't ask you about your criticisms of the church, and I suppose if we had opened the floor for that, we could have had another thing with a red pen or something like that. But I think that the reason why we're doing this is because when we think of gratitude, we think of how God has blessed us. We say, these are the things that we see. We acknowledge Christ. All the good things that are up here are things that Christ has done. Thanks, Steve. These are things that Jesus has done. I'm thankful to him for them. But I also realize these are values that we have that we say, no matter what we do, we don't want to lose these things. We don't want to jeopardize these things. And I believe that everybody in this room would say that whether you agree or not, I mean, you could say, well, I kind of see some of those or I kind of don't. But probably you'd say, well, those are good values. And we want to keep those things and we want to build on those things. One of our commitments in our church leadership is to protect these qualities and to build upon them. We have a slide that has some of the things that have what the elders and the staff said. And when we went through a similar exercise, we had Christ-centered, Jesus, the risen Christ. The focus of our language, teaching, and life is really on Jesus. Word-focused expositional teaching, community life, incarnational, openness, transparency, local, flexible, immediate. Holy Spirit-led ministry, expectancy, ground-up ministry, which doesn't mean like putting it in the grinder, but it means ground-up versus highly programmed, right? And caring outreach, caring for people. We have another slide on this, I think. Authentic worship experience, non-performance, not high production type. Intimate personal church experience, authentic non-conformity, accessible leadership, and the empowering of the body of Christ to be the living community. And so many of the things that you shared were things that the leadership and the staff, that's a combination of leadership and staff. I believe, you know, the more people I talk to at our church, they seem to be on the same page. I mean, they understand what is happening at our church and that these are really valuable things, and we are grateful to the Lord for these things. Now, River West Church is not the only church that is doing good things. And we recognize that it's just that God is doing these things at our church, and we're thankful for it. One more thing on your outline there to go with gratitude. In gratitude, we offer ourselves back to Christ for the fulfillment of his special purpose for River West Church. Okay, so these are the qualities that we want to build upon, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're talking about building. Before we do, I just want to, this is a spiritual lesson for us. If you're grateful to God for something, what should you do with that thing? Hoard that thing? You give it back to God. You give it back to the Lord. And you offer it. It's your offering back to him. And you say, God, take and multiply this thing. This is your good gift. And Lord, you've given it to me as a steward. See, we're stewards. Every good thing that's listed is a gift of Christ for which we are the stewards in our lives. And in gratitude, we offer it back to him and we say, Lord, take this thing and multiply it. I believe that God has a special purpose for River West Church. You can be assured of the fact that Jesus knows River West Church. He knows us as a church. Book of Revelation, remember the letters to the churches? And now to the church at Ephesus, right? And now to the church at Sardis, right? At Thyatira. Jesus knows the churches. The mystery of the stars, he says, these are the angels of the churches. I believe that we have an angel. I believe that Jesus knows our church by name. And as I said, we're not the only church that has good qualities. We're not necessarily the best church, and we're certainly not the biggest church, but this is our church. This is our church. And we are responsible for our church. And Jesus has a purpose for our church. I find that very, very exciting. Someone says, well, I could go to a lot of churches. You could. But you know, at some point, you have to land somewhere and say, this is my church. And this is our church. And Jesus knows our church, and he's doing something special here. And I want to know what that is, and I want to be a part of it. And that's exciting. And so I'm very grateful for these things. And I'm looking to the Lord. The question is, why has Jesus built these things into our church? And how are we going to respond? Which brings us to the next theme for our future, which is growth. Okay, gratitude for these things, for the Lord's work, and next, growth. Every healthy, strong church is going to experience growth. This is the way that it is. That is reality. Growth is a sign of life and maturity. God's intention for your life is that you will grow. God's intention for our life as a church is that we will grow. Remember now our vision statement, which has morphed from strengthening believers and influencing unbelievers to what is really a greater vision statement, is that we are building a community of Christ for the world. And I love that vision that we have for our church, that mission that we have. But don't ever forget the first word, that we are building something here. Our mission is not to maintain a community of Christ for the world. That's not our mission. Our mission is to build something. Jesus' mission is to build. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. All right. Growth is part of maturity, but there are many dimensions to how we grow. We can grow in size. We can grow in strength, wisdom. We can grow in grace, maturity, and influence. I want to share with you four dimensions of our plan for growth at River West Church. They're on your outline. Four dimensions of our plan for growth. First, our plan for growth is to accept responsibility. To accept responsibility. There is a real responsibility that comes with Christ's blessing, and we must live up to our full potential and our calling as a church. Think about it. Maturity happens when a person accepts the responsibility to act in accordance with their true potential. Don't you think? That's maturity. When you accept the responsibility to live up to your potential, your position, your calling, that's maturity. Okay, we all know immature people. We know people who have great potential, and yet they don't do anything. Okay? It's like, you know, the proverbial 18, 19, 20, 20-something-year-old who's smart, strong, able, who sits on the couch and plays computer games all day. I'm not pointing at anybody, but I'm just saying, all right, that's not a mature thing to do, right? Because you have all this potential. When are you going to do something with it, is the question that a parent might ask at that point, okay? All right, so it's like, come on, don't you see what you have to offer and contribute? You need to do something with that. It's like the guy who worked out with weights, and he, you know, just was lifting, and he just got totally cut. Amazing. Guy looked like Arnold. And he got out and he started going, look at this. And he was posing and, you know, it looked like little rats were running up and down his leg, you know, his arms and everything. And someone said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's incredible. What do you do with all those muscles? And he said, well, didn't you see? Rats running up and down his arm. No, that's not maturity. Do something with that potential that you have in your life. Here's the question. Why has God blessed River West Church? It's a key question. I want you to ask it. I want you to pray about it. Why has God blessed River West Church? Now, I'm going to tell you an experience I had last weekend. Last weekend, you know, I wasn't here, and I was down with several of our staff at a conference at this church in San Diego called North Coast Church. And it was a great conference, and they do some innovative things with video and different stuff like that. So we wanted to just check this out. And as we were down there, the greatest thing that happened had nothing to do with what they do with video. It really had to do with how great this church was and how strong they were as a church. It was just wonderful. And we sat there and we saw a great church that had great values, great people, many volunteers, a wonderful staff, great leadership, good teaching of the word. I mean, I was really, really impressed by this church. That's awesome to see this. And the first thing that happened to me is I was filled with gratitude because I said, you know what, this reminds me of our church. This church has so many of the qualities that I see in our own church. I'm so thankful for this. I was filled with gratitude. And right on the heels of gratitude came challenge. Because I saw this church having an unbelievable impact in their community. Just a tremendous, powerful impact in their community. And they've been going for about 30 years. So, you know, they've got a few years on us. But not that much more than us. And the next thing that happened was, really it was like the voice of God said to me, will River West Church live up to its potential? Will you live up to your potential as a church? And it really grabbed me. It just grabbed me. I felt like the Lord said, you're in danger of failing to live up to your potential. Why do you think that you're blessed with all these things and all these qualities and wonderful people and the feeling and resources? Why do you think? What's that for? So we can enjoy it? What's your potential? What will you do? And I had a frightening experience at that moment. It was a Book of Revelation experience. You know, the letters to the churches. And the Lord basically calls out churches by name. And he says, you know, the good things about them. He says, I know this, this, and this. I know your works. I know all the good stuff. But I have this one thing against you. And I felt like the Lord said to me, I know River West Church. I know your works. I know your, and then the list. I know your, you know, worship experience, your teaching of the word, your focus on Christ, your authenticity. I know all, you know, just down the list. He goes, I know that. I know all those things about you. But this one thing I have against you, and that is that you're failing to live up to your full potential as a church group. And the Lord said, I'm holding you responsible. And I considered buying a ticket for Mexico and just keep going south. Hold me responsible. I'm not going to be held responsible for anything. Seriously, I felt like the Lord said, you're going to have to give an answer for this. I'm like, but Lord, but good things are happening. It's positive. It's wonderful. It's great. I said, I know. I see all that. I know that. But I also know that I've blessed you for a reason. And you need to accept responsibility for that. River West leadership has determined to accept the responsibility to live up to our full potential. And we talked about that this last week. And our staff, we want to accept the responsibility to live up to our full potential. How can we do that? You know, really, if there's a theme for us moving forward in this next year, that's what it is. How can we do that as a church and move to that next level? Somebody said to me, one of our leaders, John Wharton, this last week, he said, you know, our church, he goes, there's something about our church that I love. He goes, it's really a comfortable place. You come in, it's accepting, it's casual, it's warm, it's very comfortable, and that's a great thing. And he said, it's one of our greatest problems because we're too comfortable. We just are so comfy, and we want sometimes to keep it that way. He says that can be a problem. We want to accept responsibility to come to our full potential. Our second point of our plan for growth at River West is to engage every member, to engage or to empower every member. It's our plan for the future. It's not really a deviation from our ideas in the past, but maybe it's embracing it to a greater degree. Engage every member. This week, God's word to my heart was this: each one. Each one. That was His word to my heart. And I want to read you some verses, because I said we were going to have a lot of verses, and we do. There's so many passages in the Word that talk about each one. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." To each one. And I actually went through my Bible and I began finding places where it said each one or every one, every individual. Okay. And over and over and over again, I saw this phrase, and it was very illuminating to me. Each one is a theme of the Word. And so here's how it goes. Each one connected to the whole. You can fill in the blank on that. Each one connected to the whole. Our plan at River West is to make sure that each one, each individual, is connected to the whole of the body. Here's some verses for you. 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Each one, each and every one of you. Yes, I know you're a Christian, you're an individual Christian believer, but you are a part of a body. And the way that the Lord looks at the church body is by churches. You have to understand that. Oh, I'm a part of the universal body of Christ. Well, great. That's awesome. But when the Lord wrote the book of Revelation, He didn't say, "And here's the letter to the universal body of Christ everywhere," because we don't want to ever imply that anyone would be a part of a local church. No, he called them by name. He knew who they were. Each one is a member of a body of Christ. And the only way you can really be a member of something is to get connected, involved with a group of people who are going in the same direction, trying to do something, and have a special purpose and calling on their life through Christ. And that's what we have here. We want each person connected to the whole. 1 Corinthians 12:7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Whatever the Lord is doing in your life, it's not just for you. It's for the common good. It's to be connected with others. And I could go on with many, many verses. And so our plan as we move forward is to put a greater emphasis on this and to continue to try to get people into the life of the community as best we can. We'll talk more about that in the year going forward. Here's the next thing. Each one growing in the Word. Each one growing in the Word. And I want to read to you 1 Peter 1:23. This one's a little bit longer, so just kind of listen to this. He says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, and like newborn babes, crave the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Isn't that awesome? It goes on from there. The Word is what brings us to faith in Christ. And He says, now crave the milk of the Word, I believe is what He's saying, so that you might grow thereby. All right? Our plan is this: each one growing in the Word. And to be honest with you, even though we say here that we're Word-centered and a teaching church, our leadership actually feels that we can do a better job of helping people to grow in the Word in particular. And that's part of our plan for growing in maturity as we go forward. You'll be hearing more about this as we go into the year. We're going to think very carefully how we as a church body can grow more, each one growing in the Word. All right? The next thing is this. Each one actively using their gifts to minister. And 1 Peter 4:10, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Each one should use whatever gifts he's received to serve others. each one. Key to growth. Key to maturity. Each one. Now, we do shape seminars, which is awesome. And through the shape seminars, it's our attempt to sort of identify the gifting that God has for your life. And that's a great start. But our intention is that everyone would actually be not just identifying, but using their giftedness to minister both inside and outside of the church body. All right. So it's not just coming. And though we have a wonderful response for people ushering and helping on Sunday mornings, that's an awesome thing. But that's really just a small slice of the pie of you finding your unique gifting and saying, how do I use this with people in the church and outside of the church? That's where maturity and impact really comes. And that's living up to our full potential as Christians. All right. So we'll be hearing about that in the year to come. And then the next one is each one giving financially. 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. On the first day of every week, that's the Lord's Day. That's the day we gather to worship. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Each one, a sum of money in keeping with his income. So it's proportional. All right? Proportional. There is a principle in Scripture of tithing. It is a portion of income that we give back to the Lord. Now, God has blessed our church through wise leadership and good stewardship. The Lord has blessed our church. And oftentimes people, you know, when they get the statement at the end of the year, they say, I can't believe it. This is a church, you know, you're not in the red all the time. You know, you're not coming at the last minute and begging for money so you can meet the budget by the end of the year. And that's because we have wise leadership and good stewardship at a leadership level of implementing what God has given us. But unfortunately, it doesn't mean that we've done a good job teaching on the maturity of giving and stewardship within the body. I'm going to share with you a statistic which is really weird, okay? And this is true. Our church has been growing. You know, it's obvious. Our church, it's full. Second service is full. Most of the time, often there's people standing in the back. We have a service Sunday night at Lake Grove, of up to 100 people that come there. Our church is growing. Do you know that in 3 years, the number of people who contribute to the ministry of River West Church has not increased? In 3 years, the number of individuals or families that give to the church has not increased. In 3 years. That's kind of interesting to me. So the church grows numerically, but the number of people who give or support the ministry does not grow. And that's a little sign. It's an indication. And it's really an indication that in our leadership, we've not lived up to our full potential and our calling and answered the call. Because it's cozy and it's comfortable, and we don't want to talk about money and all that kind of stuff. And so we don't, right? But I think that the challenge of God is to say, are you really living up to your potential here? And are you as leaders doing a good job helping the whole church come to a place of maturity? All right. We're not just starting out here. Okay. We've been here for a while. We need to grow in all areas. Here's a great verse, 2 Corinthians 8 and in verse 7. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and complete earnestness, and in your love, you know, some of the things on this list, perhaps, you know, you excel in these things. That's so awesome. See also that you excel in this grace of giving. See, it's an aspect of maturity within our lives as believers in Christ. Jim gave me a little thought as we were thinking about this weekend. And he said about giving, he said, in some ways, it's the fault of leadership because we haven't let you, the body, know the needs of the church. We meet the needs that we currently have, but not the needs involved with being up to our full potential. This includes our needs for your involvement in areas other than financial. And we know that you will respond because we've seen you respond before. So I think Jim makes a good case is that, you know, we basically have not shared what we could be as a church if we were to marshal our resources together in order to meet our full potential. So you'll be hearing more about this in the future, not from the viewpoint of, you know, we're not hiring a fundraising organization to come in and to raise funds at our church. We're not going to do that. All right? And we're not, you know, we haven't found an acreage to purchase that I'm going to put up on a screen right here for you today. But what we're going to talk about is stewardship. We're going to talk about stewardship within our church. Here's an interesting statistic that 55% of our church body, and remember this, that I have no idea who gives what any amount, and neither does anyone in our leadership. We never look at names associated with giving, so we don't know. But we know percentages. We know that 55% of the church body here gives less than $1,000 a year to support the ministry of the church. Over half the church body gives less than $1,000 per year to support the work of the ministry. All right. Now, that's not maturity for us as a church group. If we believe what we're saying here, we believe that this is a work of Christ and that what we're doing is important and it's going to have an impact, it reflects something about our thinking. Okay. And as we look at other statistics and we think about the demographic of who comes to our church and we just look at the amount of giving, we can kind of break in the category of how many people or families give how much amount. And once you get to a range of about $5,000 to $10,000 of giving, it goes down to like 9% of the people. But I can guarantee you that more than 9% of the people in our demographic of our church make more than if they were tithing, that they would be giving more than that. And so it's just a matter of us, I think, maturing as a church group. So we are going to talk about this. We want to grow in this area, and we want to understand how we can be good stewards of our finances and our giving unto the Lord in such a way that we can do more for the work of the kingdom. Finally, each one must answer to Christ. Each one will answer to Christ. And that includes me too, which is why I wanted to get on a plane and go to Mexico. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. 5:10. For we must all, another translation, we must each. We must each is a better translation. Each of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is not about the gift of salvation. This is not about having your sins forgiven. That is the free gift of grace in Jesus Christ. This is about the evaluation of whether we've lived up to our full potential. That's really what this is about. And he says each one of us must give an account. Now, that's kind of tough talk. It's not quite so cozy. But it is in the Bible, and it is true, and it's a call to maturity. It's that maturity of accepting responsibility of saying, you know, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord someday. That's the truth. Now, I know that some people are still wrestling with whether God exists or not and whether he owes them an apology. It's true. That's where, and when I first went to church, my question was, does God exist? Does he owe me an apology? That was my biggest question, all right? Hopefully, with maturity, you get to a point in your life where you get past that. My biggest question is no longer, does God exist? I believe he does exist. I know he doesn't owe me an apology. I owe him an apology. He's redeemed my life through Jesus Christ. And now the next question is, the questions that I should be wrestling with is, how can I live up to my full potential as a believer to impact the world for Jesus Christ? That's the question for the maturing believer and church. That's us, okay? And we will stand before the Lord, both as a church and as individuals. We will. All right. And so, you know, this is a sobering reality, but it's also exciting because the Lord says you can do great things. Come on, let's live up to it. I've seen it. I've seen it. I see it in this group. I saw it last week in a group of people. I've seen it over and over again. I'm excited. Our plan for growth. Let's go on. Third part of our plan for growth is to expand or to make room for others. To make room for others. And I'm going to talk about a couple of categories now. Sunday morning worship gatherings, or Sunday evening, be the case as it may be. We cannot continue turning people away. And the reality is we're turning people away. That's the reality. Every church growth guru of the ages says that once your church is 80% full, people will stop coming. They will not feel welcome. All right? Well, we hit 80% full a long time ago. We have people standing almost every week to come in the back. It's full, and the church simply cannot grow. We have to stop turning people away at our church, and we are turning people away. We cannot settle for this. It kills me, folks. It just kills me. Now, why are people coming? They come because of these qualities. They come because you guys are doing a good job. They come because the Lord is blessing. They come because Christ is exalted, the Word is taught, there's a community of love, people are learning to use their gifts, there's acceptance, grace, authenticity, all these things. And so they come. Of course they come. They go, oh, gosh, I want to be a part of something like that. I want to know God. I want to meet Christ in that way. I want to have living worship. I want to know what real community is. I want to hear the Word taught and Christ proclaimed. And so they come. And when they get here, there's no place for them. There's no room for them. And what's even worse is there's less room for the children than there are for the adults. Okay? And most of you don't realize that. But you need to take a trip downstairs sometime and look and see what's going on down there. Okay? There's a limit to what we can do in our ministry. One of the things, one of the statistics that I found disturbing was that at last Easter, we had between 800 and 900 adults, okay, that came to our Easter service, but we had about 100 kids. Now I know that it was like spring break, the beginning or end of that, so that may have affected things. But one of the things that I recognize about our church right now is that we are not a place that is super friendly to young families to come, because they walk through the door and they go, oh, this is a cozy little sanctuary, I like it. And they walk into the nursery and they go, this is really, really small. And there doesn't seem to be enough room here for our children. Do you value our families and children? Last year there were 15 babies born, 9 the year before that, and there's 7 coming this year, all right, at our church. And that's great. And all that life just goes right through the life of the church. It's added to, and then, you know, it's added to the numbers. You go downstairs. You know, I went down. Jonathan was preaching one Sunday. I went downstairs just to look around. It scared me. I looked in the toddler room, and I almost ran. I couldn't believe it. There was like 15 kids in this tiny, tiny room and a couple of adults in there ready to tear their hair out. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, you know, and if I was a young parent and I brought my toddler down here for the first time and I looked through this door, I would go, are you joking me? Are you joking? We can't do this. People come, and after service, we all squeeze into that lobby and go like this. Hi. Get my coffee. We try to have prayer, you know, at times at our church, and we go, well, we have the youth are in there. Well, I guess we'll kick them out or we'll move some chairs up here afterwards. They're just, there's no room for others. And we simply can't have that. And so I don't think I have to convince you of that. That's the reality of where we're at. You know, there's a front door and a back door to ministry. The front door is a lot of these things here where these are compelling. People come through the front door and this is compelling, and they want to know Jesus and they want to learn and grow and all these things. But the back door is what keeps people shooting out the back, and that is that there's no place for them in our community of worship. And so they just shoot out the back door. They come in the front, they're excited, they go right out the back. If we, as a church body, look at that and are okay with that, then we will stand before the Lord someday and give an answer. He'll say, why? Why? Were you just too lazy to do something? Did you not want to raise money? Did you didn't want to challenge people? You didn't want to move because you liked your little place? What are you doing? Okay, and that's kind of scary to me. So, having said that, we need to expand, and we have a short-term plan, at least. And here's our short-term plan. First of all, I want to tell you what we're not doing. We're not planning a new church. We're not splitting our church up, and we're not asking people to move and go somewhere they don't want to go. All right? So hopefully I've just taken away a bunch of fears that people have. They're like, you're splitting our church. You're planting the church. You're going to make me go somewhere I don't want to go. None of that is going to happen. All right? That's not smart, and it doesn't work. Here's what we're doing. The Lord has blessed us with this other facility, Lake Grove Church, and it's a great blessing from the Lord. We have Sunday evening services there right now. Our short-term plan is to remodel Lake Grove Church. We're going to put some money into it. We're going to remodel it, all right? We're going to put at least $150,000 into Lake Grove Church. Now, before you say, well, I can't believe we're going to spend $150,000, just remember this, that the city of LO wants that property, and they have told us, Jim and I, that they are willing to buy the property at whatever the assessed value is when assessor goes through the door, and that they want to use it for a community center. Okay, so here's what we realize. We've been blessed with a property which is probably worth $1 million as it is, and we're going to put into a $1 million property $150,000 and make it a really great worship place. And all of that, should we decide that the Lord wants us to move on, is going to be recouped. All right, so this is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. All right, we're going to remodel it, and we're going to extend our services into that church. And here's how we're going to do it. In the fall, we're going to start a Sunday morning service at Lake Grove. That service will probably be at about 10 or 10:15. And here's the way it's going to go. 9 o'clock at Green Tree, 10:15 at Lake Grove, 11 or 11:15 at Green Tree. And yours truly is going to teach at both of those places, plus Sunday night. Okay. Now, that may seem weird to you, but don't worry about it, because it's not. It's really not. We've already done it. I already went down there one time and did a sermon down there when we were talking to the folks at Lake Grove Church. And it's actually a very doable thing, and I know a lot of pastors that do stuff like this. Okay, so it's not a problem for me to do that. And what it does is it gives us an immediate way to make room for others. And that's what we need, an immediate way to make room for others. We're going to do that. It is a short-term solution. Now, the other thing is there's actually more room for children's ministry there. Not a lot, but there's more. We can't move our whole church there. It's not an adequate facility. Neither is this an adequate facility. So this is a short-term solution for us, and it's going to buy us some time. It is temporary because both of these facilities are inadequate. Long-term, we're looking to acquire a more adequate facility for our congregation, and we will sell one or both of the facilities that we have when the time comes if we need to. All right? So the Lord's given us these resources. We have this place. This place hopefully will be paid off in a year. All right? It's awesome. Lake Grove's already paid off. There's a $50,000 debt. We just paid it off. Let's pay it off. All right? This is great. This is good to have resources. All right? So we have resources, but not so we can just keep them. But they're resources. One thing that I've learned is that the church building is a resource, folks. It's a resource. It's not the church, okay? So we have to be open to this, and we are going to begin looking for a more adequate facility even as we start on this, and we're going to be open to what God will do. All right, more on that in just a minute. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to speed up in this whole process. We want to expand, make room for others. That includes our Sunday morning experience and our community groups. When Jonathan came to us about 4 years ago, we had 5 community groups going. Right now, we have about 30 going. It's a wonderful blessing, and yet it's not enough. And our strategy is still to get people involved in small groups, to get each one connected to the whole in the life of the church. So we're going to continue that and try to build and improve on what we've done and actually add a component that is even more word-centered into it. So that's part of our plan and our outreach. The El Salvador team is going next week. I'm so excited. Marine's going down there with them. It's going to be a great outreach. We are in the process of starting a second hotel ministry. Some of you prayed about that. We're in the process of starting that, and we've identified one, and we're starting to build a team for that, and that's an exciting thing. But you'll be hearing more about outreach because we need to expand that as well, not just these things that are far away or that are formal, but within our own lives and how we can reach out around us. And then our staff. We're going to look for another associate pastor in our church life so that we can, as we receive more people in and make room for them, that we can minister to people, that we can help them to find their gifts and use their gifts. And so we're going to be looking for another associate pastor. And that brings me to the last theme, and that's greater impact for Christ. And the fill-in is to increase our interaction with the world around us in love, service, and influence, even as we grow. So there's a cycle here that happens. If we do what we ought to do and live up to our potential, each member engaging, growing, ministering, giving, then what's going to happen is we're going to increase our influence. And the congregation, it's not just about people coming here, but we will have a greater influence in the community in a powerful way, both as individuals and a church. And as that happens, more people will come to the life of the community, faith in Christ, and join the life of the community. And those people will begin to be influencers. And there's this cycle that goes on. It's greater impact for Jesus Christ that is our goal. It is always our goal. If you ask anybody, what is the goal of River West Church? I mean, well, we're building a community of Christ for the world. All right, that's a fancy way of saying, you know what? We want to impact the world for Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We're not here just to bless ourselves or to feel good about ourselves. We're here to impact the world. And that's what will happen, to be the salt and the light, to live up to our potential. All right, now there's a lot of stuff that I've told you and a lot of blanks to fill in. I want you to take all this away and pray about it. And on the way out, we have some slips for you to take with you and to write in your thoughts and responses. You can either bring them back next week, put them in the offering or in the box, or you can email. There's an email address on there to email Tina with any thoughts or responses. But I want you to pray about this, please. Pray. What is God saying to you through all of this? And then let's move forward together and see what God's going to do. But I want you to hear me. Somebody said the word flexible up here. Will you please underline that? Underline that word. Be flexible, okay? We want to expand also. I think I missed the point, and that is by exploring innovative ways of ministry. That's why we were down south at this video venue thing. We want to see what people are doing. You've heard us talk about multi-site. We want to explore creative ways to impact our community. And we love the multi-site model and the multi-site idea, but we're still seeking a version of that which we feel will work within our church culture. And as we're developing that, we're simply unwilling to live in an inadequate situation that keeps sending people out the back door. And so we're being flexible and open with what we do and trying to be creative. So just be flexible. Be open. We'll see what God does. All right.